Today's daf is daf lamed. Let's start again from the beginning, so we can remember what's going on. Amar Rava, Hilchos of Chametz v'Pesach, bein b'mino, bein shelo b'mino, asur b'mashehu k'rav. So here Rava seems to be paskening across the board like Rav, which it seems to imply that in general, Rava indeed holds that, actually maybe we should just review briefly for a moment before we get to that. I'm making assumptions. Okay. Remember that we had our major machlokas yesterday, Rav and Shmuel on the one side, and Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish on the other side. Rav and Shmuel were mavdo between a mixture of min b'minoi and a mixture of min b'she'ino minoi. And they said that a min b'minoi of any Yisurim is always the mashu. Whereas Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish said min b'minoi is exactly the same as min b'she'ino minoi in terms of the theory. Obviously in practice we'll have to work out what the shear is. But the shir is bichon and benayis in time. It's not recognizable. B'minay, so that we have our ways of determining, or we made it the shir ultimately, that the shir of time is shishim. But that's already beyond the issues of our sugya. Now, in addition, yesterday we had a sub of machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, both of whom agree that in general a min she'ino minay is benayis in time. So Rav said that when it comes to chametz with Pesach, we're going to be machmir. And over there, we'll treat even min b'sheino mino as min b'mino. Since, after all, it's a disakarit, and it's lo bodil mine, put it all together, and we have a very special situation. So, at least, betoch zmano, we're makbid, liachar zmano, it's osir, like Reb Yehuda, but we won't make a gzera for maybe mina during Pesach. Okay, so there we treat it like regular isuri. Rava Paskins, on the one hand, like Rav, when it comes to chametz bizmano, which implies that Rava agrees that generally speaking, min b'mino would be osur b'mashu, and this is a gezeira of eino mino mishum mino. So in other words, because of the chumrah of Pesach, once we have a halacha, an accepted halacha, that min, the captain is here. Once we have an accepted halacha, that min b'mino is osur. So memela, we're going to treat chametz b'pesach, even min b'sheino mino, as if it's min b'mino. So it's mashma that Rava holds that normally the Isser is, mean b'mino is b'mashu, and indeed because of that, among other rayas that Rashi has elsewhere, Rashi says, look, it seems that the sof pasuk of the sugya is that we accept that mean b'mino is b'mashu, and we're just taking that additional step here to paskin like Rav by comments that even mean b'sheino mino is also b'mashu because of the chumrah. However, says Rava, I'm not paskin you across the board to Rav, because Rav, after all, held like Rabbi Yehuda. And according to which there's an Yisr D'Oraisa and comments Liachra Pesach Etzem Meila, it's usher the way any other thing would be usher. But when it comes to Achra Pesach, says Rava, I don't paskin like Rav in that case. And then if it's Shalom Bismano, I paskin like Rabbi Shimon. And therefore, Bein Bimino, Bein Shalom Bimino, Mutar Ke Rabbi Shimon. Hest the Gemara, why would it be Mutar Ke Rabbi Shimon? I mean, Omar Rava Achi, wasn't it Rava himself who yesterday explained that the Mishnah was going according to Rabbi Shimon, and even though the Mishnah was machalik between Chimtzor Shal Nochri and Yisrael, it certainly asked Chimtzor Shal Yisrael, and therefore he said the only explanation is that Rabbi Shimon is mode, even though there's no pasuk, but it's a knas in which we continue the Yisr of Chometz B'Pesach after Pesach too. So what the Rabban said, what good is it to say I hold like Rabbi Shimon, and therefore it's mutter, bein b'mino, bein shelo b'mino, meaning even if it's no sin tam, how could it be mutter, b'nois in tam? It's at least an Isser Rabbanon. Certainly Isser Rabbanon are not batal if they're b'nois in tam. And says the Gemara, and the Lashon over there was yesterday in the Mishnah, that's how we explain the Pasuk. Why did the Mishnah quote Ba Yira'eh? Because Ho Va'aval Av Ba'yera Ba'yimah, we gave him a Knas. And says the Gemara, Ani Mili B'ene. When did we make this Knas only if the Chometz was B'en? Not mixed. Aval Al Yedei Ta'arovet Lo. Once it's mixed in a mixture, then we didn't make the knas at all, even though it's a no same time. And therefore, I have almost the opposite extremes in my psak when it comes to chometz during Pesach, very makbid. And over there, even a mashu shalobim, you know, strangely, will be usher, because of this new big takona of our chokah from Pesach that Rav made. But when it comes to liachra Pesach, because I am fundamentally chelik on Rav's approach, and we go like Rabbi Yehuda, there's a nisidir right? So it's only an nisidir rabbanon even during Pesach. Achra Pesach, when it comes to Tarovis, they never, after Pesach, even when it's Be'en, Bachar B'Tarovis, they didn't make any gezeira at all, and there's no knas. Now, Lemaisa, Almost all the other Rishonim are chaylik on Rashi's approach. There's even in the Rabbi Tam has another gears in the Gemara in which Rava never said b'mashu, which is really amazing. And that he was bedavka paskening that we don't make the Dekana of Rav. It was always b'nois and Tam. Yeah, that would be a whole different Pesach, you know. We would pasken that way. Woo! But Lamaisa, even if we are gores, and almost everyone is gores b'mashu, the approach of most Rishonim is, and even the Rif, and even though the Rif originally said the way Rashi does, in the end of his life in the letters and so on, he was Chayzer and Paskin of the Rambam. Also, Paskin's not like Rashi, and that actually even Nin B'Minai is B'nai Tam. And the reason that's given for the Psak of Rava is not because we're Paskin like Rav, that since being B'Minai is B'Mashu, therefore let's be Machrim and Shalom B'Mino, but rather it's a completely new approach in that Chometz is unique because we treat it as a Dover Sheishlo Matiri. Since Chometz is kosher after Pesach, so Memela, we're not going to be Matir, you're using it anyway during Pesach. And because of that, it's a Yotzei Min HaKlal, because any Isser, Sheyesh Lo Matiri, not because we would treat the same way, there's no dinim of Bittul. The Lashon that we have is Achi, the Gemara is Achi Yochlenu Be'Isser, Yochlenu Be'Heter, which, okay, that's already a big sugya, whether that's exactly
the limit. Nothing within the karet, then. I mean, if you have a mashu in your chometz and you eat it, mashu chometz and something.
Well, that's a question, Bichlal, whether that whole din of Bittul of Nozir, times the Eraisa or not, that's a tremendous sugya in Nozir. We'll see other elements of it later on. It's not so partial as the Eraisa of Bichlal. Right? That's also machlo, because what you're talking about is Abitul Kizayas, Bitoch, the Shir of a Pras. Since it would be Shayach to eat it and to be Chayach Karas, then it becomes that. We'll see all of that again later. While you're Rabbi Yamat say there's a Shir in which, if it's possible to be Chayach Karas and eating it, then there's an Isser of Ba'yir Rabbi Yamat say. Of course, it depends on the proportion. Because once you're only going to be able to get a Kizayas down by eating a Pras, then already you're not going to be able to get Kizayas with Echliyas Pras. By definition, it's not edible in terms of Chometz. Okay, all of these sugis are later. But meanwhile, this has universal Ashlachot, so it's important for us to know that even though on the surface the sugya indeed is mashma, Rashi says over b'firush, but it seems from here that we pass in that. So he says this is the basis. The kaimlan kolik sur shabatera b'shishim shaloba minan taft. All of that stuff of shishim, it's clear from this gemara, is not said in a tarobas a min b'mina. Okay, but we don't pass in like this Rashi. So in other words, the sugya is very different from the point of view of the halacha. We're looking not that Rav is paskining like Rav, but when he says ke Rav, he means as Rav said, but not as Rav explained, for a completely different reason. All right, so now we want to just bring a raya that Rava indeed paskins. When he said Alok Rabbi Shimon, he indeed paskins like Rabbi Shimon. How's the Rava the time? Actually, Rava is quite consistent in this. Because when Rava said that the Mishnah is going Alok Rabbi Shimon, and Rava says Rava Psak Halacha to Rabbi Shimon, the truth is, this is Rava's actual Psak Halacha Lamaisa, because Rava said that Yavinu Be Reb Nachman, Kavinafki Shiva Yumi De Pisa. Immediately after Pesach, Reb Nachman told us, Poku Zavinu Chamir De Venechela, that you can go out and you can buy the bread, if you like, from the soldiers in town who were going. And even though that chometz was there from before Pesach, it had been baked that day. It was that night they went out, already bought bread. So clearly, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Rava's approach, we don't Rabbi Yehuda, is that it would have been an issur d'oraisa to eat chometz shor b'lav Pesach. Ben Yisrael ben Nochri, Rabbi Yehuda himself never made a chiluk, and even those who tried to make a chiluk ended up changing their mind. We don't learn out the issur of achila from the issur b'yiro b'yimotze, the tzodi shalcha, and therefore we see very clearly. Right? Look. I mean, halacha l'maisa, we actually used to do this at the yeshiva. There was not even anybody that was machmir. We went and bought goyisha bread, no problem. So it's clear that he holds of Rabbi Shimon. There's no issur d'oraisa of chometz shor b'lav Pesach. There's only a knas, and obviously we're not going to make a knas on goyim. We made a knas for somebody who was over the Yisr, or at least a Shayach coming over the Yisr, which leads to the next sugya, because now that we know that there's a din of no bittul, and now that we understand that there's also a question of using these things achra Pesach, if they were there during Pesach, the Shaila is, what do you do about your pots? Can you ever use your pots again? Because the pots have chometz ayosev. But even if you'll cook, it'll be a taruvas, but yeah, you can't be mavakalis or mechatkila to make the taruv. So what do you do about the pots? Omar Rav, kiderot b'pesach yishaveru. If you have pots, and over here the kiderot that they're referring to are, cheres, or earthenware. So this now would be Rav lishitas, right? So this, of course, Rav, we know, was very machmir because he held like Rav Yehuda. So that means, according to him, liachra pesach, it's a d'oraisa, and it would still be osur ba'ana. And furthermore, he holds that chometz would aser b'mashu. So therefore, what are you going to do with your pot? Now there's also a tzad to say that Rav held that nosin tam livgam is aser. This is how Rashi understands it. So that these pots, even though they're over 24 hours since they've been used, generally we say something that's over 24 hours, there's nosin tam livgam, except under rare circumstances, we have a chorif that you're cooking in and so on. But generally speaking, it's a nosin tam livgam. But Rashi holds, this is Rav holds, nosin tam livgam is aser. The truth is that's not so clear. Because even if there's a whole question whether we end up saying that he owes Nais and Tam Lev Gam is also, but anyway, the question of Nais and Tam Lev Gam to use it L'chatchila is a whole different can of worms. It turns out there's two different concepts of Nais and Tam Lev Gam, especially since Mechalik. There's a Nais and Tam Lev Gam where the thing itself is pogum. The thing that falls in is a horrible taste. So over there, where it falls in, we don't ask for it at all. Nais and Tam Lev Gam where the thing itself was good. Now time passed, and now already if we use it, it will be paid in a new time. Then we still wouldn't use a lechatchila. Okay, so this is another sub-machlok, because again, it's way, way beyond the sugyas of chometz particularly. But according to Rashi, this is a very specific halacha that all fits in with Rav's own shitas. Given that Rav holds that chometz achra pesuk is asur ba'ana'a, and given that Rav holds that min b'mino is b'mashu, and given that Rav holds that nesit tam l'gam is asur, oh boy, then what are you going to do with your pots? Therefore, you're going to have to break all your pots. Because since you can't, again, pots meaning of cheres, since we know the Torah did not give us any way of kashering cheres, how do we know that? Because when they came back with clay minyan, so they said that anything made out of clay cheres should be shaveru, you have to break it. Why have to break it? Why can't you just kasher it? Apparently you can't kasher it. Everything else that they brought back, the copper containers and so on, they just kashered, so they put it in the rotchin, taviru berotchin, so they put it in the boiling water, they get agola, everything was kosher. So it's clear that you can't kasher cheres. Therefore, it says, Rav, you better break them. Asks the Gemara, even according to Rav, why would I have to do that? Why can't I wait until after Pesach and don't use them for minon? Use them for other things. Say, add chometz in them. Okay, sir. Cook vegetables with them. Why do I have to break them? So even as the Gemara, the Shinul Akar Pesach, wait until after Pesach and have it bushel open mina, because even Rav is made there that min b'she'eno mino is certainly bato. So why would I have to break it? Yizera d'yama'ata l'mevet b'ube mino. Because Rav is worried. If you have a pot, who knows what you use it for? You'll forget what a few months later you'll forget, and you'll use it for some kind of kugel or something. And over there it'll be min b'minai, and then it'll be awesome. Shmuel amar, lo yishaveru. No, there's no point in breaking your pots. Wait until after Pesach. Mashilu le'achas manu, and then use it for whatever the heck you want. Tavibu ben b'mino, ben shalo b'mino. And this, of course, would be Shmuel Ataymi. Yomer Shmuel amid b'zavni kandi. Shmuel told those people who were selling their pots after Pesach. Now, in Rav's town, they did a really amazing business and household goods right after Pesach, you understand? Because everybody had thrown out their pots because they accepted Rav's pesach. So now, naturally, you know what Jews do under those circumstances. The prices shoot up, and now, instead of buying a little fruit for 2 cents, you now spend $200. It's all old story. So they had special kosher post-Pesach pots, which cost 3 times the normal pot. God only knows. So Shmuel was very upset by the price gouging. So he called in the man, and he said, listen, I'm warning you right now. Ashlu zvine akadnai. Either you bring down the prices and bring it down to normal market prices on your pots below, and if you don't, I have the ultimate weapon. Dashina luchuk Rabbi Shimon. I'm going to tell everybody that Allah is like Rabbi Shimon and that Chometz Achra Pesach is mutter. And then they'll all keep their old pots. He won't sell a single pot. Says the Gemara, the truth is that's what Shmuel held. What do you mean? Why does he use it as a warning? You should go out and do that. V'lidru shalud ha-shmuel k'Rabbi Shimon smirle. Remember that Shmuel paskined yesterday, like Rabbi Shimon, that L'Achra Pesach is an problem. So what's he threatening? I should save people money. He didn't want to do that because Atrei to Rav Hav. It was Rav's town. Okay, he's not going to come into Rav's town and start paskining Allah. But when they start price gouging, that's a whole different thing. So then, then he brings out the big gun.
Baruch
Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam,
Shalom. Many
shabbos
also about when they have to fast for fish.
Yeah, but the shabbos, would they do it mamish b'mokum rav? It could very well be that save money for Yisrael at Erechosa. Okay, then we get into some serious issues. Ahuta nura de tochu beiti chaya. There was a certain oven, and again, the pashtus ovens were made out of cheres. We're assuming that this is a cheres oven. And what they did is they used animal fats. This was a very tasty kind of food. They would use animal fats to put around the edge of the oven before they put the pitot on the oven. Okay. Obviously, the pitot were fleshy. So what happened was that Rava Bar Eloi ushered them from baking any bread in that oven, and you couldn't use the bread for anything. Afilu b'milcha, forever. Leolam, even if you went ahead and used this oven 100 times, it would always be usher for using for bread. Why? Because we're afraid from that point on that any bread in there people will think is regular kosher bread, the lamaitzitz fleishika bread, even though the tanur had been cooked, had been used again, because again, cheres is not yotzei midei dofyo leolam, is the lashon that the Gemara uses. It contains whatever tastes in it, never gets rid of those tastes. So all of the pitot will be fleishika pitot. Who's going to know it's fleishika pitot? So they'll go and they'll eat it with the regular cheese spread that they used to use there. Kutach was cheese spread. And therefore, he said, this oven, you want to use this oven, this is a cholent oven. That's all it's good for. Says over here, you can't make milchika bread. It would be the same idea. If you did, that bread cannot be eaten. I feel we say, I feel a bit milk, that's because the norm is they ate bread by dipping in salt. And here he's saying, even if you would have wanted to use it in your cheese dip, obviously that's us, but even in salt you can't. And the opposite is true if you made milchika bread. Kayotsebo, and in an equivalent case, is ein tashina tatanur ba'alya. You cannot make fleishka bread by using alya, which is the fat tail, as a way of putting a layer of fat across the tanur. The imtash, if you did rub it across the tanur, kol hapat kula asura, for the same reason, but here it says, ad sheyasikat tanur, until you reheat that oven. Now, apparently, having reheated the oven, you will get rid of the taste of the alya. Whereas Rav's psak over here was, Rava Bar Eloi's psak was forever, So how does he explain the fact that it says beferush, that you can actually be machshir? This seems to be fatal. To Yufta, the Rava Bar Eloi to Yufta? It's a fatal question, because it says over here, you can be machshir a tanur. He said Leolam. Leolam means even after you use this tanur 100 times. Omalei Ravina L'Ravashi. So let me ask you something. Let's see. If we see that Rava Bar Eloi is considered to be completely out of the water at this point, so then how did Rav ever say Kederot Pesach Yishaveru? I don't understand. Apparently there's a way to kasher cheres, because it says over here you can kasher the tanur. So why did Rav say you have to throw out your pots? Even L'shitato. L'shitato, you're going to tell me no, it's the time of Gamazos. You're going to tell me that we pass like review to the Chometz Shachar, Acharat Pesach, as it is to the Raisa. You're going to tell me that Min B'Mina was B'Mashah. That's all very nice. Go kasher it. So what are you going to tell me? You can't kasher it. So how do you explain now that it says B'Ferish here that you can kasher it? Omar Lei, Rav understood the case to be referring to a metal oven when it said over here, Achi Usakatanun. And so therefore, according to him, there would be no basis for the Tiyuf Sarama Bar Eloi. Metal is one thing. He was talking about a case of Cheres. Rav was talking about a case of Cheres. What's the problem? Viboisema, or we could say, because indeed, I mean, it's a big stretch to say a Stam Tanur is talking about metal. Stam Tanur is always Cheres. Could be that the pshat is like this. There's a difference between a tanur and a pot. Hava ha b'shal cheres. Both cases are indeed cheres, but the difference is that a tanur is hesekan mibifni. A tanur is heated from the inside. In other words, you take the coal or whatever wood, whatever you're using, you put the actual fire inside the tanur. Since you're putting it inside the tanur, it burns out the layer of fat on the tanur. But if I have a chomet in my kedera, I don't put any heat in the kedera, I put the heat outside of the kedera, and therefore it cannot use that heat enough to be motzi everything from the kedera. No. So if chitamus, you'll say to me, okay, so put it inside, I understand. But I mean, now that we know that it's possible to be mafshir, so put the heat inside of the pot. I mean, why can't you be mafshir? Vechitemes, you'll tell me, hochinami levit le'asakabi bifnim, if it's kosher, there's a way to make it kosher. Why does Rav say that you have to throw it out? Because he holds that chayis alei mishum depaka. We do not believe that people are going to do a good job on being mafshir a pot of cheres, because since the normal way of using the pot would only be mibachutz, generally speaking, if you put it mibifnim, it's going to burst like a non-ovenware earthware, where you don't put it in your oven, because likely it is it's going to break. Therefore, people will not do a good job. They'll we'll figure out ways which put it in for a second, it won't get out, pour it out. So it's too open to problems. So therefore, we didn't create that mode of being makshir. Hilkach, because of this, where you've got a situation where we're not worried that you're going to be chayav. And what they had in those days, we have the blocks that we make out of an earthenware type thing. It's more of a cement nowadays. But cement blocks. A cement block that's used for building has a hollow space inside. They would often use a cement block, except an earthenware, similar to our cement blocks, and they would put it into a fire, and they would use the inside place as a way to bake a bread. A bread that's baked basically in the fire directly, and it's protected by the sides of the building block. Now, over there, you're certainly not going to be chayav selling. So if you went ahead and you used such a thing, and you've got now a buchya, if you went ahead and you used, in fact, something not kosher, or you know, fleishik, that you made the bread, and therefore you can't use it, it's normally a seiko bibachus, and it would be usher, even though you used it again, but imaye gumre, if you filled it up with coals, we don't have this gezeir that you're going to be chayav shema yibaka, so if you fill it up with coals, so then enochinami shaperdami, it's not a problem. Yeah, this is the way, I mean, there's no problem in putting such a thing in coals. Kedera, we're worried about.
This is the first time we come across the idea that you can aspect kashering a head.
Correct. Amalei Ravina Lorvashi, what do we do about knives? How do you sakina bepischa? Echi abdinano? How do you use a knife, a chometz knife? Amalei, ledidichar etak abdinano? Well, I'll tell you the truth, I buy new ones. Amalei, well, that's very nice when you got a lot of money like you. I mean, Tenach Mar de Efshale, you're a rich guy going around poskening, we should buy new knives. What about us poor folk who can't afford to just go out and buy new knives? So the Lo Efshale Mai, what's he supposed to do? I like this bourgeois piske halachas here. Amalei, let them eat cake. Amalei, Anaka Ein Chadata Kamina. I never said anything about buying, please, control yourself. I said, they make them new. What I mean is, for all intents and purposes, they work on the knife in such a way that it might as well be new. What do they do? What I do is basically, Ketayu Betina. What we do is we first cover the wooden handle of the knife with some type of mud or something that will protect it from the exposure to the flame. Parzilayu Benura, we actually will blowtorch the blade, and then we take off the tina, and we dip the whole knife, we dip the wood part into boiling hot water, and therefore, the part that's exposed to the real heat is kosher because we used our blowtorch, and the other part that's cooler that we keep our hands on has been gone to a hagala, and that way, for all intents and purposes, it's a new knife. The truth is, we don't even need that type of chumra, because yelchata idei ve'idei barotchin, ubeklirishon, both of them can be in boiling hot water. You don't need to use a blowtorch on a knife. See, even though in certain ways we're more machma on a knife because of the pressure of the knife against the food, but when it comes to the heksher of the knife for Pesach, we're not machma. Actually, the Ramban learns over here that the meaning of the berotchit is you don't even need that it to be ala ish. Right? In other words, this is a great kula. Why? Because you go according to the most standard usage of the knife. Most often the knife is used, not mamish over the fire. They say he was makbid, maybe once I put it in the fire itself, so I'll use a blowtorch. But lamaisa, you go according to your normal usage. Who uses a knife in that way? Normal usage, you use it in rotchin and a kli rishon would be sufficient. Om ravuna bereder of Yoshua. The same thing would be true about an eitz parur. If you have a stirring spoon, very commonly, we've got them in our house, the wooden stirring spoons to use for soup and so on. There are two magi'ilo barotchinu b'kli rishon. Again, the Ramban's understanding of the kli rishon in cases like this is that you don't need for it to be on the eish, which is why he says that's why the Gemara has to justify. The klal is whatever the heat level that created the problem in the first place, meaning the bli'ah, that which the knife absorbed, the level of heat that allowed for absorption, is the same as the level of heat that will now reabsorb from the knife whatever had been absorbed into the knife. So therefore, you can basically use the level of heat. So in this case, I mean the spoon. I mean. So the spoon, which is normally used off of the fire mostly, so you can use it also in your hechsher off of the fire. It doesn't need to be mamish on the fire.
Doesn't worry about the knife. Two different pieces of
no, that we saw. That even he doesn't worry. Because each piece you could put it in the way you normally marcher it.
Doesn't worry about taste.
Doesn't worry about taste. Yeah. We're not talking about a knife. We're talking about a wooden spoon. A wooden spoon is boleya, but it's boleya according to the level of heat it's exposed to. This, in general, is a very big kula that we indeed pass the night to bolo kachol, so, you know, in almost all areas of kashrut, which is why we don't require very high levels of heat on things that are used on lower levels of heat. So usually, chometz we're very makban on, but usually you'd be, let's say, your oven. So your oven, the level of heat that the oven had absorbed, that doesn't really glow red, and real hagolah requires it to at least be able to light a piece of kash if I touch to it. Doesn't, unless it's a self-cleaning oven, of course, it doesn't really do that. But for most purposes, we rely on kabbalah kach poltor. Since this was the heat level, maximum heat level that the oven can reach in order to become absorptive, so just leave your oven on for 3 hours or whatever, the maximum time that you would have, that something us or fell into it, or milking deflation, or whatever the problem is, and that would be sufficient.
Why is that a kula?
Because the mi'ikar adin, I mean, the mi'ikar adin, you could say that there's certain shiur. In other words, yatzo lettuce bow is hot. You can say that a little bit. It's either hot or it's cold. In halacha, usually. It's either roteach or it's not roteach. It's a
matter of degree.
Though. Exactly. And also heat. And the heat content is important. The difference between halacha and the Berkeley region.
Enamel covered.
What?
Enamel covered.
Oh, that's our next case. Well, let me name the amema. They asked amema like this. Hani mani de kunya, where we have a china or a earthenware, essentially an earthenware thing, but it's covered with a non-absorbed coating. So it's coated with kunya, it's coated with lead. That gives it a glaze. Is that glaze sufficient to protect the kli from the blia of a normal kli cheres? And then you won't have to treat it like a kli cheres. So ma'o lishtamushibu v'pisa. Maybe you could use that on Pesach. Yuroka lochibo elecha, the vade asiri. I'm certainly not asking you about that greenish coating. Because that greenish coating we know is green because it has a lot of crystals of alum in it, and that's very absorptive and has a lot of, so it might as well have little holes in it. So forget about that. But that's varayasir. I'm asking you about the dark color ones or the light color ones. What about there? Now, if it's got little holes in it, in other words, if it wasn't a smooth kli, and therefore the glaze also, when it fills the places, there's lots of places where it's not going to get all the way down to the middle of a crack or a crease in the cheres. Of course, I understand that there are places where the whatever you're using, the chometz, is going to be absorbed through those places. I'm not asking you about that. That's certainly awesome. I'm talking about kitibaylucha d'shi'i. I'm talking about where you've got a smooth kli, which is now glazed. The whole thing basically looks like it's got glass over the top. Do you have to worry about absorption there? What's the name? I have experimentally noted that when you heat those kaling, you find exudation on the outside. It gets wet from what was in it, which means that they absorb. Otherwise, where's that coming from? If you take it, you take one of these pots, you put it in a fire, you put it in heat, and it gets wet. So it must be that the heat is forcing out liquid that's been absorbed by it. So, I mean, I see by experiment that lamaisa, they do absorb. And therefore, if they absorb, we have to treat them like cheres.
Why
did
sugar absorb?
Amavali, huh?
Why did that sugar absorb?
Where did the moisture come from? It's not from inside it.
I mean, it was a completely dry pot.
Yeah, and now all of a sudden it's wet as I heated it. So obviously, it's coming from inside of the pot. The outside is glazed. The inside is earthenware. Like our china dishes. It's interesting that a simple experiment is to leave a cup of tea on a kli and see how it stains it. It's remarkable. Obviously, it absorbs that tea, but good, you know. Usually there's like a little stain of tea that's on the bottom of a cup. You leave it in the platter gets a stain that doesn't come off normally just by washing in many types of dishes. So that absorbs. Hama bala, the asire. Once it was boleya, the Torah ira kli cher shenei yotze mitei dofi yoliola. I mean, if the kli is boleya, then we know from Klei Midyan that it says in the Torah, yishaver, the kli cher has to be broken. I don't get it. So that's Maremar said that? How come Maremar himself, when it came to Yayin Nesach, he said that, well, if you've got Goyesha wine in a holder of glaze, and it's Mani de Kunya, it doesn't matter whether it's Uchma, Chivre, Yeruke, Shori, actually those containers destroyed the Roman Empire, but it's okay. Literally. Lead poisoning. it destroyed their armies. Actually, it was worse than that. They had a way of making wine concentrate that used lead crystals. So they were really poisoning themselves. Interesting. It took centuries until somebody figured out what was going on. But there were all these horrific systems. Well, obviously, it depends when they started smoking. Yeah, the very rapid, sure, it's neurological degeneration. You know. Guys were walking around with palsy. They weren't aiming very well. So maybe you'll tell me that the reason that Marema was makel by the wine is because of Vachitema, what he was talking about over there, was Yayin Nesach, meaning Drabona. That was a Stam Yenam. So, okay, no, not going to be so mocked, whereas Chometz is the Oraita. But don't we have a rule that we don't make those kind of distinctions, and that Kol Dituk and Rabona came to Oraita Tikkun? That whatever their norms are, apply across the board. Once Rabona says something, it's Osir, and then it's Osir the way that it would be Osir if it were the Oraita. Omar Lei, or Omar Lehu, some have a gear set. Zeta Shmishu. It's a big difference. If the normal usage is never to have hot, obviously with wine, we don't want the wine to be hot, it'll destroy your wine. So the usage over there is cold. Cold, Einochinami, it's not bolei if it's glazed. But you were asking about the chometz where you use it for hot things. Don't tell this to your wife. All kelim that were used just cold, you could use them for matzah during Pesach. That's not a problem. That's the old answer. It's cold. It's all right. It's cold. this would destroy the whole economy here. Basically, everything, it all is because everybody buys a new everything for Pesach. So you could just use that for Pesach too. Chutz. Although there is a run that says, when it says you can use it for Pesach, it means you use it for Pesach for cold things on Pesach. Not everybody, almost nobody else says such a thing. Chutz from Beit Sa'or. There's a difference in that if you have a box in which you kept your sourdough, that's different. That's all Shechimutzo. Kasher. We understand that there's some things which, even when they're cold, have other elements. So we know there's a Dover Charif. Dover Charif is Mavliya or Bolea because it's so sharp. Chimutz of Sa'or is also very sharp. And it leaves a taste, even though there's no heat that's involved. Amravashi ubeit charoset kebeit sa'ardami. The truth is, if you have a pot that you usually use for things that are very vinegary, so they're sharpish, so all those type of things are the equivalent of sa'ar, because they also make a sharp taste. And that's like the same as a beit sa'ar, like chimutz or kashadam.
Why is
sa'ar
more sharp than
that? Because sa'ar is a... Yeah, it's very, very... You can't eat it. It's very high. Well, no, what we call yeast, it's sourdough yeast, which is extremely sharp, very, very sour. Yeah, well, it depends what it's made of, but our phony yeast.
We make sourdough today. First,
yeah, and the pizza places use real sourdough.
And then what you do is take a part of the dough out and put it in the fridge and leave it, let it sit there for a long time. You use it over and over again. This is all about it.
Omar Rava Hani Agre de Bakusa Hova to Dir Lamilish Bechamira, Mashable Chamira Gebet Sarshi Mutsa Kashadami. You know, says Rava, here in Bakusa, we got these very big kneading dishes. And what they would do is they would always leave the sourdough in it. And that's the same thing as a box from Sahar. Isn't that obvious? Pshita. Well, not completely obvious. Because Mao de Tema, look, I might think that given the Ravicha, these things, they're not a box, they're a wide. A wide, kneading thing, which is a shalit ba'avira, there's air gets to it, and therefore it's not as if it's all contained like the Beit Sa'or. So maybe lo bali, because of that, the air itself prevents it from getting all of that concentrated sharpness. That's irrelevant, because what we're talking about is the area in which there's contact between the Sa'or and the Kli, and that's exactly the same as a Beit Sa'or. Nope. I'm not continuing.
Why?
No. I'm reviewing.
Oh, we're not going.
It's such a different sugya that it seems to be more kedai to just to go over what we've done. All right, so what we've had, therefore, is a very, very fascinating sugya. Once we finished the dinim of Isser Hanoah, which took us to all types of machlokas and about what the Isser Chometz is during Pesach Lach or Pesach, we then got into the question of the dinim of Bittul. And that we went through the machlokas, the general dinim of Bittul, difference between min b'mino, min b'sheino, mino, machlokas, rav and shmuel, Reb Yochanan and Reish Lakish, the special dinim of chametz b'pesach, because this itself is related to the yisr, the chumrah of chametz, the yisr hanol, the yisr kores, the fact that we're not normally careful about chametz, or the fact there's a davar sheyesh b'matiri, depending on who you paskin like. And we pointed out that chametz has a tremendous chumrah in that we're machmer even on a mashal chametz, which of course leads to all kinds of fascinating questions, like how do we drink water from the pipes on Pesach, since undoubtedly somebody's throwing a piece of bread into the Kinneret somewhere, in which case the chametz is the mashal, so then all of our water is chametz b'Pesach. The briskers indeed disconnect the water, except for the toilet, but they fill up large containers of water. All the drinking water is filled up before Pesach because of this.
Shower before Pesach.
Before Pesach, it's
bottled. Shower too, because the that's rather important.
Well, there are certain groups in which that doesn't matter. That was dirty. Okay, but I mean that's the tremendous chumrah of Pesach. Again, I mean, according to Tosfos, there's a tzad, and many Rishonim actually pass it this way, that we don't pass it from it. That Rav never said that we pass it, like Rav, that it's b'mash. In which case, all of the tremendous chumrahs that we're used to, not dafka such chumrahs. There's also questions as to the issue that Scott just raised. Even if we do hold it's b'mash, do we hold it's b'mash l'gabei achila b'dafka, or even l'gabei hanor? What is exactly, how far do we go with Mashu. That's machlokas between the achronim. Those who are maple. It was okay. Specifically, the gabi achila to the mashu.
Would you have to know there's a mashu chametz?
Well, I mean, yeah, but I mean, here that doesn't answer the kineret case. And the way the brisk rav put it is the famous response is a mashu is earth of hashir. Mashu doesn't mean mashu. Mashu is a shir. Something. Exactly. That's like the homeopathic medicine. How that works. There's not even one molecule of the stuff in it. You work out the it's amazing. If you work out the math, it's impossible. Even statistically. Homeopathic medicine uses such a small proportion of the particular thing that they're claiming is the medicine, that in the vial in which they have the medication, the overwhelming likelihood is that there's not a single molecule of the material. That's the normal level of. So and they know, they admit this. They said there's some type of residual effect of the aura of the thing. I mean, it's crazy, you know. But okay, there's got to be a shear in a mashal also. This was one approach. The other things that we spoke about, once we talked about bittul, whether it's a mashal and so on and so forth, was containers. So first of all, we saw the difference in containers. We spoke about the difference between metal containers and terrace containers. And we even saw there's a difference in what type of cheres containers. That even though the Torah says that cheres is any yotzi midei dofyo, it doesn't mean literally that it's not kasherable. All it means is that you don't kasher it in a normal way. It would have to be basically reburned. And this leads to an interesting question. How about reinsertion into the original firing chamber? Suppose I would take the pots and I put them back into, you say, I'm afraid it's going to burst. This is the way it was made. So I exposed it to the level of the heat at which it was originally formed. Back to the kiln. So then, l'chor, it should be okay. And indeed, and this is what Tosfos says, that it is okay. Why is it that the Torah says it's any yotzi midei dofyo? That's like a new kli, basically. That's not a kli that you kashered. That's a new kli. You use the same old one. That's fine. As long as you put it back into the original kiln, it would be okay. All right. So the Torah is not telling us there's no way, basically, to be machshir kli cheres. And it's in practical terms, for it to be used as the same kli it was before, and to say, okay, so fill it up with boiling coals and so on and so forth, we're afraid it'll break. Therefore, it's not a standard way. And what the Torah is really doing is comparing it to the Hagola and the Eish of the other Kalim. And at that level, Yishaver, it's not saying that it's impossible. So therefore, when we have Kli Cheres, straight out Kli Cheres, there's nothing we can do with it unless it's the type of Kli Cheres that's normally fired inside. If we have a Kli Cheres that's covered with a glaze, then we saw there's nafkaminas between cold usages and hot usages. And also we saw there's nafkamina perhaps in the glaze itself. Some types of, if they have holes in it, or they may even get also beforehand, we ended up also making an afkamin any kalim. If there, of course, we don't, I mean, lamaisa, we're machmer on this, but according to the din of the Gemara, if you have cold kalim that are usually used for cold purposes, in which you don't store chametz in, to use that for Pesach too. Here you've got everybody bringing their bechers and kashering them and the matnas and so on, because maybe they came into contact with chametz, wash it off from it. I mean, even if it was mamish chametz. and that you used it for. It would be perfectly all right because it's cold. Again, okay, you throw it, Kadesh your name, but sticking to it at the end of the Gemara, there's no problem of a Bliya Bichlal, and all you would need to do is to wash off the surface and to make certain that it was okay. There's one other issue here which is fascinating, and that's the question of Nat Bar Nat. Because when it says over here, you can't use the oven that you had coated. And then we're saying that any time, a year later, so Rashi's excuse is, well, it'll be Min Bamino, and there's also the problem of Nosa Tam Levgam, and Rav holds Nosa Tam Levgam is also, but there's still another problem. The other problem is that there was nothing not kosher here. The only thing that you had was fleishik. Fleishik is in trade. So in order for something to aser eating with milk, it needs to be the actual tam, not the tam of the tam. So over here you have the tam of the meat went into the tanur, and now it'll come out from the tanur into the bread. And you're telling me, oh, we're very worried you may eat this bread with cheese. No, and if you eat the bread with cheese, what's wrong? It would be no same tam bar, no same tam of hetera, because meat is hetera. So therefore it should be kosher. Now, as we know, there's a big, big machlokas between the Sfardim and the Ashkenazim in this issue. The Ashkenazim are makbin, are not bar not the hetera, not to eat it with milk, because they view that as the lechatchila, not the b'diavad. And there's two ways of understanding the bit. What we say is that b'chatchila, it's also b'diavad, it's mutter. What does that mean, b'diavad? Once it's made, or is there another way to use it? So the Ashkenazim, Paskin, use it without the kutcha. Use it without the milk. Don't eat it together with the milk and kaddish. Of course, it's talking about where there's no problem no sitam with gum. Because again, we Paskin and no sitam with gum would be mutter. But not bar not of a kli that was used today, over the past 24 hours. So let's say I take, classic case, the Gemara for Kulin, is I take a milchika container and I cook fish in it. And so now, is that fish milchik, or can I serve it on my fleishik serving dishes and so on? They're a problem. Okay, so here the question, or the case in our suga. We've got bread. Bread was cooked in a tanner that was fleishik. Can I use this bread for a milchika cheese sandwich? Can I make pizza on it or not? So if you hold not bar not, the hetera would be mutter b'diavad, meaning, now once it's already made, like the svardin, so then you should be able to eat it. Either way, as opposed to what everybody believes, even the Ashkenazim are matter if it's also nice at time of God. In other words, 99% of the cases where people say, oh, I made that in a fleishik pot, I can't, is ridiculous, because the fleishik pot hadn't been used for over 24 hours. So even though you made it in the fleishik pot, it's perfectly okay to cook it with your milk, because it would be nice and time by nice and time of a nice and time with God. They're even Ashkenazim aren't mocked it. Again, the wives, when they hear this, are shaken to the core, and it's cause for divorce. But it's, you know, it's the old problem. The halacha has nothing to do with the way that they're going to look at it, you know. But there's absolutely no reason to be mocked on such a thing at all. Cook it in a fleishik pot. Go put it into your milk with pleasure. With your hot milk and your frying pan, anything you want. There's no problem. What? That's Nosa Tam of God. Yeah. According to the Sfardim, even if it was used in the past 24 hours, because it's already been avad, it's already made. Doesn't mean you look at chila, you can make it in this fashion. But once it's made, it's fine. Now that it's made, go ahead and use it.
And according to Ashkenazim,
if it's within the first 24 hours, even though you already made it, don't use it with milk.
But if it's after 24 hours, it's even lechatchila?
Not lechatchila to make, but lechatchila to use.
And according to the Sfardim, after 24 hours, they also hold even lechatchila?
No. Even their mark, but not to make lechatchila, but try to avoid, yes. Avoid using the pot. But if you didn't avoid using the pot, and your intent lechatchila wasn't to use it with the flesh, and so on, then there's no problem. For the tanur, for sure. Our tanurim are pots. They're not.
But the diavad is on the original usage, or the diavad is that you shouldn't now use it for something else. It's on the original usage, right?
No, according to whom? The word b'diavad means once it's made.
So what,
according
once,
to them,
what is made?
If you know that you're going to be using something for fleishik, don't cook it in the milk oven.
So, but if you already did it in the milk oven,
then there's no problem eating with fleishik. Right? I shouldn't say oven because I don't believe there's such a thing as a milk oven.
Is that? Oh,
either
has melted cheese and lasagna.
Right.
So what happens?
Because the real ovens are vented, and vented ovens are not called ovens. These tanurim are sealed. So because of that, they have a zeya problem. And zeya, although Joseph here is mechalik, it's a zeya is not such a big problem. It's okay, it's good to be mechalik. But lemaisa, our modern ovens, unless you're talking about a closed small, what do you call it? No, a toaster oven, which indeed are completely sealed. There you have to be mechalik. That is separate built to flash your toaster oven. But a regular oven is always open.
You start to clean it though. You can't just touch it in and eat it up with the bread.
You can if you want to. I mean, if there's no zeah because it's yotze from the thing, then there's not really such a problem. It's nice if they cook it together at the same time, fine, so you cover up one, you know, or get off the actual ban. I'm sorry, now you've just reminded me. So the question is over here, what's the problem with the flashing of bread? So Tosfos says, so let him eat it with cheese. What's the big deal? So we'll eat it with cheese. It'll be a not banat etera. That's really very, very shocking. What are we being so machmara? So Tosfos suggests that maybe the thing over here is that the usage of fat on the edge of the tanur is the equivalent of what Rashi holds would be a problem by the case of cutting a radish with a knife, that there's always an oily residue. You can't really get the residue off. In which case, it's called be'en. It's not called meisim tam. Because you have the actual fat that's there. There, it doesn't follow the din of meisim tam, bar meisim tam. It's not the fat goes, the taste went into the tanur, now will come out of the tanur. There's direct contact with that taste. It's a possibility. Well, you know, he says maybe the case over here is that in a fat-coated tanur, the heat causes it to be a stronger than normal belia, so it would be the same halachas like a davar charif. And there's a lot of issues, of course, that are not nogea us. I'm not part of our sugya yet, so I'm just raising the things. There's a lot of fascinating issues that we have over here, and new words that we spoke about. So we talked about just now, meisim tam ba meisim tam, the difference of not banat tatera, not banat isura, question of a davar charif or a normal thing. The nafkamina of a klicheres, another kelim of klicheres, in a yotzi, they dofio, at the technical term, it's still considered to be dofi. We spoke about the difference between hot and cold, min b'mino, and min b'sheino mino, and then, of course, earlier, yisurei hana versus yisurei achila. Okay, so there's a lot of rich, delicious things here, and now we can do our brief as well. Omar Rabbi, hilfasa chometz bizbana bein b'mino, bein shalab b'mino, asu b'mashu karaf, shalab bizbana bein b'mino, shalab b'mino, mutar karabi shimon. Umiyomar Rabbi, alfim omar Rabbi Shimon himself, was kanasikon yisov, arav alababai, rabbi. I might say, true, but I mean, be any data in which case, obviously, Goyesha Chometz was completely mutter l'achar Pesach because there's no basis for knas, which proves that he passes like Rav Shimon. Omar Rav Kid Deirot the Pesach Yishaveru. Why? Lishino achar Pesach l'avzel shelo b'mina. Ah, because Gzera Dil Ma'atu b'mevad bo b'mina. I don't care even ben b'mino ben shalom b'mino. That's Shmuel Taimi. The Omer Shmuel Hanet v'zavne kandi ashvuz vino akandaychi v'ilod arish lachul k'Rabbi Shimon. And then you'll be bankrupt. So the lidlan shul ashmuel k'Rabbi Shimon sphere like we saw yesterday. Well, it was atid Rav Hab. Ahuta nur tocha betichaya asa Rav bar ahiloi l'mech l'rifta. Why? And the opposite case, Kayotibo in Tashinata Tanur Baalya, Vintash Kolapat Kula Sura, Achia Sikata Tanur, Oh Sakatanur Miyashori. Tiyufta Rav Bar Eloi, Tiyufta. Omle Rino Vashi, if that's the case, we matter that's Rav Bar Eloi. Then why is Rav Machmer on Kederot of Pesach? Why do you say Kederot of Pesach Shaveru? Marley Rav understood the Tanur to be Tanur Shal Matechet. Haka b'Keder Shal Cheres. Or, Iboi Teva actually Hava b'Shal Cheres. But a Tanur is Esekami Bifnim. And the Kederot are Esekami B'chutz. Ah, you'll say if that's the case, Levet lo Esekami Bifnim. No, won't do a good job. Chai Esalei Amishum Depaka. But and then you put Barzalaya Benura, and then you take off the Tina, and Ma'alaina la Katayo Berotchin. We don't even need that. Idi Bini Berotchin Ubekli Rishon. Omer of an Ebrahim Parur Magilo Brotchin of Kli Rishon. Kasavar Kibol O Kach Poto. Bomi Nemi Amim Ar Hani Mani De Kunya Maodish Tabush Tabu Pepischa. Now, look, I'm certainly not asking about Yeroka Vare Asira, because it's very absorptive. Kiti Boilo Chauchme Vachivre Mai. Furthermore, Heka the Ipu Kartufli, and it's not smooth, I'm also Loti Boilo Cha. The Vare Asira, by the way, you do see a lot of that in cheap kalim, where the glaze has bubbles, because underneath it, it's not smooth. The Titibolacha de Shie, my. Amarle chazina lahu de midaite from outside. Alma bale, the asire, because a Torah, he now clicher, shedding out to be dead of Yodayola. It's referring, in other words, to Stam Yena. And the Chometz is the Yoraita. Isn't it true that called the Tikkun Rabbanan came to Yoraita, Taku? Oh, Marlay, it's very simple. Zetash Misha Yedei Chamin, Vizetash Misha Yedei Tzone, and we follow normal usages. Omar Rabba Baravam, Rabbi Barashi, Omar Shmuel, Kol HaKelim, Shenishtam Shubem, Bebchametz, Bitzonein, Mishtoshem Ben Mamatza, Chutz Min Beit Zohar, Hol Shechim Utso Kasher. Omar Ravashi, Beit Haroset is no different than a Beit Zohar, because its chimutz is also kasher. That's the chimutz, the vinegar sense of chimutz. Omar Rabba Hani Agni, the Bechuzi, Hoyo V'tadir L'melesh B'chamira, U'mashu B'chamira, is no different than a Beit Zohar, Shechim Utso Kasher, Dami. Isn't that obvious? No. Because Ma Tehme Kim Nerevicha, Sholit Bu Avira V'lo Balei, Kamashla, nonetheless, the contact area is sharp.